This morning I want to share some thoughts with you about the motherhood of God. And I thought, what a perfect day to do that as we celebrate Mother's Day. Mothers are individuals who have guided our lives and cared for us. Mothers' loves just never end. And I'm always touched by those times when people do some horrendous things and people are arrested and then they speak to the mother. And the mother just can't stop loving their son or their daughter no matter what they did. And someone said that when we look at mothers, we see another whole side of who God is. And that's what I want to focus on this morning as we think about the motherhood of God. Now, traditionally, when you think of the motherhood of God, often people talk about Mary, who is the mother of God. They often refer to Mary as the mother of God, but I'm not talking about that in this context today. I'm talking about God, the eternal one, who has a motherhood that is connected with our eternal God. Now, sometimes that creates a lot of stir in people, and certainly years ago when people started talking about mother and thinking about saying, our mother who art in heaven, people got all excited and all concerned that we're talking about God in a feminine kind of way. And then everybody would say, you know, that's not the way it is in the Bible. If you look in the Bible, it always says God is the Father. And so I want to try to ease your anxiety this morning and calm your fears and help you understand how the motherhood of God is a very normal part of our Christian faith. And it does not threaten the fatherhood of God. Today I'm talking about the motherhood of God. In June, on Father's Day, I'm going to talk about the fatherhood of God. And both of them have a part to play in our spiritual lives. Now, traditionally, we were taught that God looked like this, that God had this big beard, was an old kind of guy with a heavenly kind of presence. But this image was not to suggest that God is a male. And people have a hard time with this. When we talk about God as He or God as the Father, we are not talking about God in a sense of maleness. And the reason is because God has no human identity or characteristics, because God is a spirit. And because God is a spirit, God does not possess human characteristics or its limitations, which is why God can be in all places at all times. And that's hard for us to understand. God is present here in this place, specifically in this sanctuary, right now in our presence. But God is also in Australia at this precise moment in the lives of people there, and in China, in Japan, in Antarctica, in California. God is spirit, and because of that, there is no limitations of where God can be at any one time. And God can be in all places at precisely the same moment. And for most of us, we have a hard time with that. We just can't understand how God could be with me right here and with my brother in Hamilton and somebody else in California. But God is present in all places because God is a spirit. The motherhood of God helps us in a couple of ways. It helps us, first of all, to encounter the fullness of God's being. As Christians, we want to encounter the fullness of God and have this complete picture of who God is. And when we only see God from the perspective of God's maleness or the biblical maleness, we eliminate a whole aspect of who God is. And in fact, if you only see God as male, it creates a lot of problems for many people within the church and through outside the church as well. Often people, even today, see God as a God of judgment. That God who is watching you when you do something wrong, listening when you use that word that you shouldn't be using. And most people have this idea that God is this God of judgment, and I got to measure up. I've got to do something. I got to keep improving. I got to measure up, or I'm going to be in trouble. And that was never the God that Jesus proclaimed. Jesus proclaimed this God of incredible love, a God that is closer to you than the heartbeat inside your body right now, and a God that never stops loving you. It does not matter what you do. Now, that doesn't mean because it doesn't matter what I do because God loved me anyways, doesn't give us license to do whatever we want, because as Christians, we're called to follow in the footsteps of God. But the motherhood of God helps us see the fullness of God, and it helps us to see the perfect and complete character of God, the best of both male and female. See, God has no sex. But to try to understand who God is, we try to put human characteristics on God. And so God is just not male, but God is both. God is the holy and the gracious and the faithfulness in noble males. Notice the key word is noble males, not all males, but noble males. Because there's some males that are not holy, they're not faithful, and they're not gracious. But the noble ones are the characteristics of God. And God is also the pure-heartedness, the nurturing and the kindness and the love of females. Now, before you get your something tied to knot, I want to affirm that there are men who are loving and pure-hearted. There are women who are faithful and gracious. And the point of this exercise is not to say that only males have this characteristic, that only females have this characteristic, but that all of us have the characteristics of God. And the God, a God, is one who has all of these attributes. And God is the source of all creation. And that's why the motherhood of God helps us to round out this picture and help us to understand that God is so much more than one side or the other, and that God is the fullness of everything. And that's important for us if we want to grow and mature in our faith. And so the question is this: why is God male in the Bible then? Does that mean what the Bible said is not relevant? And the answer is no. But there are reasons for why God is referred to in the male gender within the biblical material. It is not to suggest that God is a male. But there are some things and reasons. One is because the finite, the infinite, cannot be fully grasped by the finite mind. Our minds are finite. We have limitations. Even as brilliant as you think you might be, we have limitations, and it is hard for us as humans to grasp the infiniteness of God and who God is. And because of that, the early fathers and mothers in the church decided that we were going to try to chunk it down so that our puny little minds could begin to understand the concept of God. And so we began to put human qualities on God's likeness. And the reason they chose the male is because at the time, it was a male-dominated society. Males had the power. Males had the education. In the Jewish faith, it was the males that were instructed in the Torah, not the females. And because of that power situation at that time, the male metaphor, the male pronoun, was used for God. And the other reason, which I thought was very fascinating, is to make a very clear distinction between the God of Israel and the pagan goddesses of the nations around Israel. If you remember the time when the people of Israel moved through the desert, right? 40 years in the desert, and then they were crossing the Jordan, going into the promised land. In that speech, Joshua talked to them about, or Moses talked to them about being faithful and always making sure that you picked God and you were faithful to the one God of Israel. Now, in the lands and in the nations on the other side of the Jordan, there were polytheistic nations where they believed in all kinds of gods and female gods. And so to make sure that the people of Israel understood, they picked the male image of God to make sure the people of Israel would not be confusing or worshiping the God of the pagan countries. And all the way through the development of the people of Israel, as they went into the promised land, there was always this tension, always this back and forth between worshiping the true God of Israel and all the other gods that were surrounding them by the other nations. And so the purpose of the male was not to suggest God was a man, but to help people understand who God was in their limited capacity. Julian of Norwich was a lady who was called an anchoress, and she lived in the 1300s. And an anchoress was a lady who felt called, or a woman who felt called, to spend her entire life focusing and thinking only about God and spirituality. It was a very unique ministry. And when an anchoress was identified within a community, they would build a room on the side of the church. And in this room, this woman would live for the rest of her life and never leave that room. There was a window on the outside to the outside world, and there was a window on the inside of the church so that she would always be able to see the Eucharist and receive the Eucharist to strengthen her spiritual life. And Jillian of Norwich was one of these anchorists. And she was well known for her depth of spirituality. And even way back in those days, she said, "As truly as God is our Father," and she knew that without a doubt, she says, "Truly as God is our Father, so truly God is our Mother as well." And so with this understanding that God has both of those aspects, the maleness and the femaleness of human experience. And so I want to share some images of motherhood. From the two biblical stories that Nell read for us this morning, from Luke, the 13th chapter, the 34th verse, and Isaiah 66, verse 13. In the New Testament verse, Jesus is being warned at the early part of that passage by the Pharisees, said, "Get out of town, because Herod's out for your head." And Jesus knew that he was going to be in Jerusalem, he was going to be betrayed and put to death, and so then he talks about how Jerusalem always kills the messenger and always kills the prophets. And he says that he looks at Jerusalem as the holy place, and he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones the messengers, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." And there is this incredible image of the motherhood of God, where God has this protecting, loving care, and that God just wants to surround us with the wings of God's love and God's care and protect us as we journey in life. It's an incredibly powerful image. The second one is from Isaiah. In the 66th chapter, in the 13th verse, the prophet says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And here the prophet is helping the people of Israel understand that God is a God of comfort and a God of care at all times. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter the struggle, no matter the difficulty, no matter the hardship, God is there protecting us, but also comforting us and caring for us even in the most difficult of moments. And so you see, the motherhood of God is not something that threatens our image of God, but expands the image of God so that we can see God in a greater holistic way and then have the ability to have a mature faith that sees all the qualities of our God. And that's what the motherhood of God does for us. Gives us a holistic understanding of our wondrous God. And so this morning, I hope that when you hear the term the motherhood of God, it doesn't create all kinds of anxiety in you, but you see it as the opportunity to expand your understanding of who God is. And today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, may you be grateful for your mothers. May you be thankful for the things that they have done for you. But most of all, through the love they gave you, may you be aware that they are pointing us to the eternal and never-ending love that comes from God. And if we can do that, then we will see the blessing of the motherhood of God, and we will grow as people of deep and mature faith.